TV.
Hi everybody, welcome to MZTV. This is show number 401, which meant yesterday was show 400. I know a little bit about math, not much. That's about the extent of it right there. Many of you probably wondered, what was Seth Follenkamp doing here yesterday? Well, he's moving down here to Florida. And we had a housing arrangement fixed up for him when he got here 2 weeks ago, but it fell through. Yeah, at the last minute, it was crazy. It was a God thing because it was so weird, right? And then plan B fell through and plan C fell through. So now we're on plan D. But yeah, plan D sounds like it might work. Well, my life is on like plan H. But God is the one who decides these things. So he's on plan A. It's just to us, it seems like plan D, plan H, plan W, right? But God's in control. So we've been in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're talking about resurrection from among the dead. And we're not merely talking about resurrection. We're talking about being raised to immortality. And Paul is giving details now. And I'm going to pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 38. Yet God is giving it a body according as he wills. Giving what a body? Giving all bodies that currently have a soul and are of flesh and are mortal. He's giving those bodies a glorified, vivified body as he wills. And to each of the seeds, its own body. And now, as yesterday, we review the seeds. Paul says, now in verse 39, not all flesh is the same flesh, but there is one indeed of humans, yet another flesh of beasts, yet another flesh of flyers, yet another of fish. So he's dealing now with all the bodies on earth, the four categories here, not including trees, not including plants. They're not of flesh, are they? He's speaking of those that are on the earth. Now he's going to talk about how they are raised and with what bodies are they coming, which is the exact questions the Corinthians asked earlier. Paul admonished them for it. Remember, I said it was hard to understand why Paul would say, imprudent one, and all I did was ask, with what body are the resurrected people coming? And my suggestion to you yesterday was that they were pursuing it from a mere intellectual curiosity, wanting a philosophy about it, and Paul takes it down to a simple level. That's the best I have for that verse. It's a strange thing for Paul to say, in my personal opinion. So Paul says this. This is amazing. There are bodies celestial as well as bodies terrestrial. Celestial having to do with the heavens, terrestrial having to do with the earth. But he's not referring, when he says there are bodies celestial, he's not referring to the spiritual beings that are among the celestials right now, because he's dealing with resurrection from the dead and being made immortal. And those bodies, those beings, and I'm not saying they don't have bodies, but I'm saying that they don't require the resurrection and the vivification to immortality that we are speaking of in this entire context. We're talking about that which is flesh and blood. And the messengers, the angels, the sovereignties and authorities among the celestials, they are not flesh and blood. So we're not considering them now. So when you see that phrase, there are bodies celestial as well as bodies terrestrial, I don't want you to think of the celestial spiritual beings. What I want you to do is think of that being one category that the flesh of this earth will rise up to. You understand what I mean when I get to this next part. There are bodies celestial as well as bodies terrestrial, but a different glory indeed is that of the celestial, yet a different that of the terrestrial. Another glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star is excelling star in glory. All right, so let's back up on that. And here's my interpretation. This is the Martin Zender patented interpretation, although you can use this interpretation freely without recompense to martinzender.com or my publisher or my publicist or my my president, which all in the same person, my sister. This speaks of the two evangels, the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision, and the different ways that these varying bodies, that the bodies from the saints in each of these groups will be vivified. We know that Israel was chosen by God to shepherd the nations of the earth. And so when they are made immortal, their bodies are fit for a terrestrial glory. There are bodies celestial as well as bodies terrestrial. This is in the resurrection. Who are the bodies terrestrial in the resurrection? Well, it's Israel. The meek shall inherit the earth, the Abrahamic covenant, in you and your seed shall all the nations of the earth be reached, educated, saved, reconciled to God. Yeah, they're an earthly people, Israel is. They were never promised heaven. They were never promised a celestial realm. Their blessings came from heaven. They were celestial in nature. But that was never their destiny. And when Jesus Christ, our Lord, appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, he appeared to them in a terrestrial body with the nail prints on his wrist and the wound in his side from the Roman spear. That was a terrestrial body, was it not? But was it also not a glorified body? Was it also not an immortal body? Of course it was. Every bit that. And yet it was a terrestrial body. Now, that's one glory, and it is glorious. It's glorious to have a glorified terrestrial body. But Paul says this, there are also bodies celestial. There are also bodies celestial. There are bodies that will be changed and fit for a heavenly realm, a celestial realm. This is the body of Christ. Not coincidentally, then, Paul promises the body of Christ that they are seated among the celestials in Christ. I believe that's Ephesians 2:6. If it's not, it's darn close. This perfectly fits God's creation and his reconciliation of creation. In Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth. Heavens and the earth, two spheres. And then Colossians 1:16 through 20, through Christ, God is going to reconcile both the heavens and the earth. What do you know? Those two verses in Genesis and Colossians, that's the beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega, right there. What more do you need? God created heavens and the earth, two spheres. He's going to reconcile both the heavens and the earth to himself through Christ. Christ is a common denominator. How does he do it? Through two different groups of people. This is so simple, and yet some people still argue with me on this. They're not arguing against me, they're arguing against the scripture. So now Paul is telling us that not only were these two realms created, but these two realms are going to be reconciled by Christ on the cross, which Colossians 1:16 through 20, and he has two different groups of people who are going to have two different glories, one of the terrestrial, the earth, and one of the celestial, the heavens. Do you hear puzzle pieces clicking together in a very satisfying sound? I do. It's so simple. Two realms created, two realms conciliated, and two groups of people that do it. One of them fit for earth, one of them fit to heaven, for heaven. And they're both glorious because there's a glory of the terrestrial and a glory of the celestial. And there are bodies terrestrial and bodies celestial. Bodies. We're not going to stop being humans. We're still going to have bodies. Don't think that when we're changed, we're going to turn into wisps, vapor clouds. No. We're not going to sound like, you know, gas escaping from, you know, the sewer grates in the winter. We're going to be bodies like this, like Jesus Christ had a body, but it was a terrestrial body. Ah, but when he appeared to the Apostle Paul, who was Saul at the time, what do you know, the first member of the body of Christ, he appeared as a light brighter than the noonday sun, i.e. a celestial body. Isn't this interesting? He appeared to his disciples in a glorified body, yet it was a glorified terrestrial body. Why does that make sense? Because they're terrestrial people. But when he appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus, who he was calling as the first member of the body of Christ, he appeared to him as a celestial body, something that looked like a light. Definitely not any nail prints in that body. Why? What do you do that? Because he's calling Paul and those who would embrace Paul's message to a celestial calling. Am I crazy or does this make sense? And yet, people still, no, that's not true. It's not true. It's just so obvious. So obvious. Then he says this, but a different glory indeed is that of the celestial, yet a different glory of the terrestrial. I'll stop right there. Notice the common denominator, glory. There's a different glory of the celestial, a different glory of the terrestrial. There's bugs biting my foot here. They're biting my foot. They're chewing me up. I should have sprayed that stuff on me. This is the terrestrial. I'm not changed into a celestial being yet. In case you haven't noticed, just thought I'd remind you of that in case anybody got any crazy ideas about me. Lysander, he's pretty great. He's doing pretty good. I wonder if he's a celestial being. No. Thanks for thinking that. Appreciate it. The common denominator is glory. So it's not to say that a terrestrial body is worse than a celestial body. And some people, including Alan Hess, hate to bring up his name again, but he's screwing it up every day on the two evangels. He doesn't think there are two evangels. He thinks that everybody's going to be on the earth. Israel saints, body of Christ saints, I don't know if you even believe there is a body of Christ, or that everything's a body of Christ and there's no Israel. I don't know. It's a mess. He doesn't know himself what he believes. But he thinks that, we're ripping off Israel by claiming, making the audacious claim that we as members of the body of Christ are going to be in the celestials. And there's Israel, the first people who were called by God, the ones who wrote the scriptures, from whom came the Christ in the flesh. Are we relegating them to the earth? How terrible. What are we, supremacists? Are we terrestrial racists? Are we better than them? All this is BS. And the people who level this charge against us don't know what they're talking about because they don't know this verse. They don't know this verse. They all concentrate on 1 Corinthians 15, 22 through 23, 21 through 23. God's the savior of all humanity. Great truth, but that's all they know. They don't go keep reading here. And so it's not that we're better. It's different. Look what Paul says. He doesn't say there's a better glory of the celestial. No, he says a different glory of the celestial. Not better, different. It's glorious. Otherwise, you'd have to say that Jesus Christ's body that he appeared to the disciples in the upper room was not glorious. No, it was just a different glory than the body he assumed, which was probably closer to his essential body. Of course it is. His essential body is not a Jew. He assumed that body for the sake of Israel and to confirm the patriarchal promises. Romans 5:18. Now Paul has just used the example of seeds. Talked about that last night with my fellow worker, Seth. He was talking about seeds of the earth now, and he used that as a comparison. The seeds of the earth, how they are planted in the ground, and great, amazing resurrection life comes forth from them. Now he's going to point to the heavens. He's taking the viewpoint higher, and he's going to use the celestial bodies as an example of the resurrection. And here's how he starts. He's going to offer this as proof of what he's saying. There's a different glory of the terrestrial, a different glory of the celestial. And what he's saying here is that shouldn't seem strange to you, because there are varying glories everywhere you look, including the heavens. So here he goes. There's a different glory indeed of the celestial, yet a different glory of the terrestrial. Another glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. Sun, moon, stars, common denominator, once again, glory. The sun is glorious, glorious. The stars are glorious. But the moon, hanging out there in outer space, is also glorious. But it's a different glory. The moon is a reflected glory, right? The sun is an originating source of life and light. And the stars, they're also an originating source of life and light. But they're not as good as the sun. The sun's the king. The Beatles wrote a great song, Here Comes the Sun King. It's on Abbey Road. You got to hear Abbey Road. I think it's on side two, right before the great medley there. Here Comes the Sun King, recommended by me, Martin Zender. In fact, I will link to it if I remember it down here, the Beatles. Sun King. The sun is the king of the celestial realm from our vantage point. But how many lovers kiss under the moonlight? Oh, there's a glory associated with the moon too. And how many crickets wish upon a star? Many, many. So the stars, but watch this now. Star is excelling star in glory. So among the stars, and the sun is included in a star. The sun is a star. the stars are different in glory. You have different stars. You have the blue giants. You have the red stars. You have the superstars. You have the Hollywood stars. And you have the marshmallow stars in a box of Lucky Charms. All a different glory. Star is excelling star in glory. So as I've told you for years, God is not interested in equality. But he is interested in filling everything up with his spirit 100% to its capacity. The moon is doing exactly its job. There's nothing wrong with it. It's the moon. It's the frickin' moon. Okay? It's famous. It's famous. And it has its own glory. Glory. The sun, very famous. Very famous. The sun has been famous for years now. It has its own glory. And the stars, they also, if you analyze them, they differ in glory. So God's not interested in equality. He loves sprinkling his universe with variation, variations of glory. Then this monumental phrase. Are you ready for this? This ties everything together. Verse 42. Thus also is the resurrection of the dead. Boom. Hey, Paul, why are you giving us an astronomy lesson? Because thus also is the resurrection of the dead. Hear Paul, because this will make the two evangels make sense to you. As star excels star, as the sun excels the moon, yet each are called a glory, thus also the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of Peter and the rest of the circumcision saints to an earthly, a terrestrial glory, and the resurrection of Paul and other members of the body of Christ to a celestial glory. Why should this calling of these two bodies be any different than what we see in space in the natural creation? Obviously, God plays favorites. He gives some stars more light, more power, more heat than other ones. Smaller ones, bigger ones. It's a wonderful variation of creation. So why would we force Israelites with their gospel of the circumcision, Galatians 2:7, why should we force them to be the same as the saints that are part of the gospel of the uncircumcision, also in Galatians 2, verse 7? By the way, that's a verse that proves there are two gospels. Some people say there aren't two gospels. Well, yes, there are. Galatians 2:7 proves it. So, it's not unusual. Because, again, we see it in the natural world. And the resurrection is just like that. Think about this. This is particular to us. Because I think there are more variations with the body of Christ in the celestial than there are with Israel on the earth. I think they're more uniform. And I think there's not that much distinction in glory. But among the body of Christ, for some reason, since Paul is using the heavens here as analogous to a celestial glory, star is excelling star in glory. So some of us in the body of Christ, of course, are destined to rule and reign with Christ. That is, those who have suffered together with Christ with this evangel. And those who, even within that realm, suffer more, such as Paul, he's going to have more glory. He's going to be a giant star. He's going to be an amazing star right next to Christ. Why? Because there's a different. The sun is different than the moon, and the stars are even different from each other. So are we going to begrudge Paul? Yeah, I want to have that body. I want to be a big star like Paul. Oh yeah, well, could you put up what Paul put up with on this earth? Okay. All right. So is he a member of the body of Christ? Yes. Is a member of the body of Christ who's like the moon? Maybe they believed, but they lived their lives, no interest in suffering, no interest in studying more, they just accepted the truth. They're in the body of Christ. But they're like a glory of the moon. It's more like a reflected light. But they're still happy. They're completely fulfilling their role. But even among those who are stars in the body of Christ, their stars vary, right? Paul's probably the sun. Paul's probably the sun. And the rest of us are stars in our varying degrees of glory. That's my take on that. So to list all these things and then say, thus also is the resurrection of the dead, is very instructive concerning the resurrection of the dead. And with that, class today is adjourned. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about why God sows everything first in corruption. That's a disturbing thing to us, why we are decaying every day. Well, tomorrow, even though you probably already know, I'm going to give you the richest details ever written about this from the pen of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15.